Welcome to Brown Town. We're three Asian Americans who love talking politics, pop culture, and popping bottles. And
I'm Mika.
I'm Chet.
And today's agenda, we have a lot. We're talking about. We're talking about Eric Schneiderman, the former Attorney General of New York, and all the sexual abuse allegations against him. The Kent State girl, the girl who was carrying that AR-15 for her graduation photo. Fucking hate her. And then we're talking about the Gaza protests that have been happening and all the Palestinians that have been killed by the Israeli Defense Forces. We're going to talk a little bit about some transgender laws and how either that have been progressive or rolled back. We're going to talk about a little bit of what's happening in Pakistan and also what Trump just did, the Trump administration just did in regards to trans prisoners. And then we're definitely going to talk about the royal wedding because that just happened this morning. So, yeah. But anyway, to begin with, what did everyone do this week? Chet, what did you do this week?
So I'm going to talk about an album I've been listening to this week. It is called Die Lit, and it's by Playboi Carti.
Why are there so many Cartis, though? Like, what's up with that?
It's C-A-R-T-I.
I know, but, like, why?
I don't know if there's an answer to this question. this is his second full-length project. The first one came out last year. It was self-titled. And they're technically calling it a mixtape, so this is technically his debut album. But he is a very young rapper from Atlanta. And he kind of... I feel like a lot of critics say that he like epitomizes what they dislike about what they call like SoundCloud rap or like mumble rap.
Is he mumble rap?
Yeah, kind of. It's like the lyrics are like very, they're like repetitive, but really catchy.
But you like mumble rap.
I like Playboi Carti a lot.
Okay, but you don't like other mumble rap?
It depends. But I think he's really talented.
Can you tell people some examples of mumble rap? Like Lil Uzi Vert.
Uzi Vert can be mumble rap, yeah. Like even, I wouldn't say this is mumble, but I think people would categorize sometimes certain like Young Thug
projects. Migos is kind of mumble sometimes.
I don't know.
Sorry, not Migos.
I don't know how to call Migos mumble rap.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Stir Fry is about crack, by the way.
Stir Fry is about a restaurant that these young men have wanted to start their whole life, and I don't
appreciate
their dreams like that.
Chet.
So I'm spreading healthy food and eating habits to the community.
Chet literally has this thing with me and Isham where Isham and I don't actually know what any of that these songs are about drugs, but they happen to be about
drugs.
Nah,
dude, I knew.
You knew that Stir Fry was about drugs?
Yes.
Okay, well, I
guys, Stir Fry is not about drugs.
You see, he's doing it right now. He tries to convince us that Stir Fry, is about you, Migos, trying to open up this restaurant they want their entire lives.
Rice, complex carbohydrates, vegetables, lean meats. Anyway,
If you just went to rapgenius.com, not rapgenius, just geniuslyrics.com.
I think it's just, I don't know, okay.
You would see that it's about drugs.
It is about drugs, and I don't believe you.
Anyway, Playboi Carti.
Anyway, Die Lit is a really good album. It took me a few listens. Like, I honestly didn't like it the first two times I listened through it, and I think I'm on, like, my fourth or fifth, and I really, really like it. He has, like, a decent number of features this time around, which his first one didn't, so... Mm-hmm. There's a really good track with Nicki Minaj, who basically raps for like 2 minutes and a half straight.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really great. And it just feels, the whole album just feels really light and like kind of free-flowing. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's just having fun making music. And it's very like, it's very fun music and it's very just kind of vibey. The production's really great. And yeah, I think if anyone is interested or likes rap music, I think they would probably like listening to this.
I really think that we should have a spinoff music pod.
What? Honestly, just talk about music.
Yeah, we can talk about Demi and we can talk about Playboi Carti and we can talk about that awful girl song by Rita Ora and three other people.
We could. or we could never talk about it.
Yeah. Ishwan, will you please tell everyone what your song of the summer is this year? Because last year it was the smash hit, Sorry Not Sorry, by Demi Lovato. And she obviously has great taste. So I would like you to tell the world, please, what is our summer anthem?
So the people have chosen Nice For What, and I will say Nice For What is definitely one of my summer anthems. And also Olivia Wilde is wildly hot in it. Oh, God. Kills me every time. Every time she looks at me, because she is looking at me.
She is.
Ah, just kills me. The Converse sneakers coming out of that tall skirt.
I think she's wearing Jordans.
Whatever. Jordans. But, yeah. Fuck. Okay. Sorry, I'm not cultured
enough.
Isn't
it Tool? No, I don't know. I don't know.
Haddish, I don't know. Whatever. But I do think that Ariana Grande song is a banger. And it's kind of crazy because I forget the name.
It's called No Tears Left to Cry, I think.
No Tears Left to Cry.
Yeah.
Banger. You know what? Actually, respect her in a way a lot, because like that whole Manchester shooting happened right in her concert, and she like didn't release any music for a while, and the first song that she released was this, and it's like you can tell that it is kind of an ode to what happened, like No Tears Left to Cry, like we're gonna move on and we're gonna like be joyful, and we're gonna like, it was kind of a reply to that, but it was still so joyful and awesome and also such a fucking banger. Yeah. Like I'm like, damn, okay Ariana, I see you. I forgive you for that donut incident. When you licked that donut.
That was pretty mean.
I didn't really think that was a big deal.
No, don't worry, Jen goes around doing
it. No, you know what what bothered me about that, and I remember it not, I remember specifically watching it and not being annoyed that she licked the donut, but being annoyed at how rude she was to the worker.
That made me mad. I would not be upset if she wanted to lick my donut. What? I would eat it.
What does that mean? Fuck? What's your donut? Where is your donut?
Like an actual donut.
Like an actual donut.
Yeah, like if she licked a donut, I'd be like, oh, I'll eat that.
Well, okay. Anyway, Anika, what about you? What did you do this week?
So our friend group, which includes the cast of Roundtown and the producers, we have a book club going. And we actually just met regarding this book called Hunger by Roxane Gay. And we had this great discussion. And something that came up was, so Hunger is a memoir about her relationship with her body and eating. And something that came up at book club was kind of fucked up things that people say to us, especially at the workplace, regarding weight or eating habits that are just like inappropriate. And it kind of brought something up that happened to me pretty recently. Not only do I tend to be, like, I'm pretty, I would say, underweight, and I definitely am skinny, and people do take that opportunity to, like, make weird comments about my weight just because I'm not overweight, so maybe it's just, like, seems a little bit more, like, appropriate or just easy to talk about me being skinny, which I don't, it honestly makes me really uncomfortable. I just don't say anything. But another thing that something happened to me at a job I was at was, we were in the kitchen and they had put out these new snacks, and then there was like this thing that looked like beef jerky, and there was like a male coworker in there, and he was like, you should try these, they're really good. And I was like, oh, is that kind of like Slim Jims? Is that kind of like beef jerky? And he was like, no, it's kind of like skinny salami, like kind of like your last ex-boyfriend. And
what?
I was like, what? And then I was like, just trying to like leave the conversation before it got any more awkward. And then he tried to like correct himself and was like, yeah, you know, because like you're really skinny and I feel like you'd want to date somebody really skinny. And like, I was just like, no, you're really not helping this. Like, man, just stop talking. Like, where in your right mind would it be okay to mention anything like that in a work kitchen to your coworker?
Also so inappropriate. And you know that this person only did it because he's a man. Like, no woman would just say that.
No,
like,
one would.
Like, you just automatically know that's not something that you would say.
Yeah.
Can I also just say that it's also not even funny?
It's not funny. It's not funny.
Which is, like, funny. I know that, like, I know that seems kind of true, but it's, like, why, it's not, like, you're not even being funny. Like, what is even the point of this interaction? And I just want to say, just advice for anyone, if you ever find yourself in a situation like this where you say something really stupid.
Call him out. Call him a little bitch.
No, don't. No, I'm saying if you're the person who says this, don't try to walk it back. Just say apologize. Say you said something dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
Just saying, my bad. That was a dumb joke. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that.
You know what?
You don't have to try to fix it. You're only going to make it worse.
Yeah.
Just admit that it was a dumb joke and, like, apologize. That's
I think she would have been like, sorry, that was inappropriate. I think that would have gone over better with me.
Also, can I give a piece of advice to the person who it's being done to?
So you tell me.
Maybe. Well, I mean,
yeah,
I feel like you didn't do it in the moment anymore, but if this ever happens to you again or whatever, I honestly think these things should go to HR. Somebody should be told about this because it's honestly not okay. Because nothing happens, people continue to say this sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, at my workplace, people have also said sexist things.
Mm-hmm.
And at my old job, people have said homophobic things, and I never took it to HR. And mm-hmm. that is... Unfortunately, like, that's the burden that we have to, like, mm-hmm. either do something about it or not. And maybe the HR won't do anything about it, but, like, tell somebody. Yeah. Or keep a record of it, because what if this person says more problematic things to other people?
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. and it becomes, like, a big thing. With all this Me Too stuff, I'm just, not that this is Me Too, but I'm just saying, like, problematic, shitty, like, keep a record and, like, write it down when it happens, what happened, or tell a coworker, or, like, email somebody about it, or, like, tell HR, because, like, things need to be documented because you don't know if this person is a heinous person to other people as well.
Right. So this person happened to be in HR, and there was also another woman in the kitchen at the same time. There was another brown girl in the kitchen at the same time that happened to also be in HR. They were all young. I think we were all in our mid-20s. And she kind of looked at me with panicked eyes too, and then looked at him and shook her head. And then she watched me leave, and then she walked out, but she didn't say anything either. But you know what? This is kind of honestly, I could do an entire podcast about inappropriate things that people say to me at work. Like, I had another guy come up to me at a Christmas party and asking me, like, he thought it was weird that I wasn't married because I was so pretty and smart.
Oh, no.
I know. What? I know.
It's like, I could go off.
Like, I actually just got physical goosebumps. Like,
right now.
The things that men say to women at work is, like,
but it's not always only, like, what men say to women. Like, in my previous job, I was wearing this t-shirt that had something Spanish written on it, and a coworker was like, oh, where'd you get that t-shirt from? And I was like, oh, I don't know where this t-shirt is from, because it's my girlfriend's t-shirt. She looks at me, and she was like, girlfriend? And I was like, uh-huh. And then she looks at me, and then she puts her finger to her mouth and goes, shh. Like, I shouldn't be talking about, like, having a girlfriend, because,
oh my God.
Like, so it's not even just, the point was that, like, it's not even just, like, that men do that. It's like any of this shit. You know what I mean?
I was just saying that because in my experience,
it's true.
That make really fucked up comments towards me.
I get that, but I'm just saying, like, it's interesting because, like, these sort of things, because I've also gotten a lot of, like, culturally insensitive comments from, like, from a coworker. Of mine. Yeah, like, who's not a man. But anyway, so, like, yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, I think that everyone should report it, or, like, at least tell somebody about it.
Yeah.
Tell us what's been up with you?
I came out to my mom. And that was a really big deal because my mom is Muslim and she lives in Bangladesh, and, like, she doesn't know any gay people, like, as in, like, anyone who's out to her. And so, like, in her world, I'm, like, her first gay person ever. And I thought it was gonna go really, really... I thought it could go really badly or just, like, okay. But it actually went really... It went really good. It went really well. Like, she doesn't understand, like, gayness, really, and she doesn't. So I actually, like, explain a lot of stuff. And, like, she's really worried about, like, what society's gonna think, and she doesn't want me to come out of the closet, actually. She doesn't want anyone else to know, except for her. Mm-hmm. And she can't fathom the idea of me being with a woman, so she would rather me be, like, just alone for the rest of my life. But, like, this is, like, a starting point, and at least, like, but, like, she's, like, I thought she would be more in denial. So, like, this is, like, at least she, like, accepts it and understands it and loves me the same and has made it very, very clear that, like, she will always be there for me and support me and love me no matter what, which was, like, the most amazing thing, and, like, that's what I wanted, because I was scared of, like, being, like, I was scared that she was, I was scared she was going to be angry at me, and mm-hmm. she was going to be disgusted by me. And I think that the, I was, like, happy to know that she's not disgusted by me and, like, who I am. Because, like, I know that my father is homophobic, and I know that gay people disgust him. Mm-hmm. But she's not as outwardly homophobic, or at all, really. So, yeah, it was, like, an incredible, honest, amazing moment. Like, that was the most honest moment that I've ever had with my mom. So it was, like, a really... I had, like, one of the biggest moments of my life, basically, last weekend.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so... There's that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for
you. Your parents surprise us sometimes.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I think what I learned from this is, like, we forget that our parents are people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think, like, her having the empathy that she had and, like, the response that she has had, which was not angry or disgusted, she was just sad.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, those reactions are coming out of her as the person that she is, and I kept forgetting that she's a human and a person and mm-hmm. also processing things, and, like, I kind of was just like, oh, she's my mom, and she's going to react this way, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, there's a different... And, like, I know everybody says that, but I think it's just hard. I've just kind of forgot that in that moment. And, like, I underestimated her ability to, like, be empathetic and compassionate and, like, loving towards me.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a part of you that thought that she would not accept it, or not even, like, she would not even acknowledge that it happened after you told her. Like, she would just sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, like, be in denial about mm-hmm. it. Well, like, she kind of did that, like, when I told her that, like, I had a white boyfriend. So I was going off on that. And also, so this was also a really big deal to me because none of my Bangladeshi queer friends, and I have a lot of Bangladeshi queer friends that I grew up with, none of them are out to their parents. Mm-hmm. So to my knowledge, I think I'm the first one that I know of and, like, among my friends. So, like, there was no precedent. I didn't know how it was going to go. But I know that some of my queer friends' parents who suspect that their kids are queer have been, like, mean about it. They haven't been, like, nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll call their children, like, equivalent of, like, fag or something when they're angry at them or something like that because they, like, suspect it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, like, stereotypically gay or whatever. My mom, like, didn't even see this coming at all. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she, like, didn't, like, you know, she, like, she was just like, what? And I never thought this would happen.
Right. And, like, she's known you, like, she's like, she knew you had, like, boyfriends and stuff. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Yeah. And I told her, like, you know, I dated and stuff like that. She was like, is it because you, where you work? Because I work for, like, I work for an LGBT civil rights firm, a civil rights nonprofit. And I was like, no. I knew this since I was, like, 14. So, like, definitely not. But I also cut my hair short for the first time 3 days ago ever. So a lot of new big changes.
Right time for the season.
Right time for the season because mm-hmm. it's going to be hot as fuck. And also, I mean, I've been kind of thinking about it for the last 2 years, but it was kind of in the back of my mind. I was like, I'm never going to do this. It's just so fucking way I'm going to do this because, like, it's just, like, way too crazy and, like, scary and, like, weird.
Yeah.
But then... a friend convinced me that I should just do it and not be scared, so I did it. And I love it.
And it looks amazing.
Thanks. Yeah.
Looks great.
My mom hasn't seen it yet, but I did tell her I was going to cut my hair. And she was like, you're going to get a boy cut? That's what they call it. Like, mom, she's calling it a boy cut. And I was like, yeah, mom. And she was like, your hair looks really nice like this. I'm just saying, this length looks good. And I was like, thanks, but gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she wasn't like in an anger, she was just like
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but anyway, so yeah, that's what it is. But anyway, on to the politics. We're talking about a lot of shit today.
We're talking about news.
About news related stuff first. But the first thing, this actually happened like a few weeks ago, but between our last episode and this, Eric Schneiderman, former Attorney General of New York. Anika, take it away.
So, one of our producers actually sent me an article, and it was basically a Maddie. Thank you, Maddie, for sending this to me. It was like an amalgamation of like four or five girls that he had dated and how they had these similar experiences with him being super abusive physically and emotionally towards them. One of the things they all had in common was they would be having sex and without any kind of like...
Wait, can we also preface this by saying that Eric Schneiderman was basically seen as like the most liberal, most progressive like attorney general ever. Mm-hmm. Like he's the one who sued the Weinstein Company mm-hmm. over their treatment of women.
To put it in a context.
The hypocrisy is like astounding.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%. Going off of that, and so he, with all these women, would, without even having a conversation with them or getting their consent before, they'd be having sex normally, or however, I guess, maybe not normally, but he would just all of a sudden just spit on them or slap them or punch them in the middle without literally warning them. And then
it's non-consensual. So it's not BDSM because then it's just sexual assault.
It is assault. And then another thing is there was one Sri Lankan woman that was dating him and he forced her to call him master and called her brown slave.
Jesus.
It's ridiculous. And then on top of that, like this is multiple women's stories and all these women are like very powerful, in powerful positions, really well known in the New York scene. You know, they're all like Ivy League graduates and he did this exact same thing to all of them. And on top of that, you know, he had like a very bad, he would like finish two bottles of wine a night and take like prescription, like not tranquilizers, but what was the drug? It was prescription tranquilizers. Yeah. And so he was super fucked up all the time. And
so he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And an abuser. Addict mm-hmm. and an abuser as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my god. But, okay, one thing I will say, though, I love that, like, the swift action was, like, he was immediately fired. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, imagine... Well, I think he was forced to... he wasn't fired. He resigned, but I think he was forced to resign, definitely.
Why didn't they just fire him? Why did they force him to resign?
I don't know. But, like, I'm just saying that, like, whenever things have come up in the Democratic Party or, like, the Democrat side when, like, somebody has been accused of something...
Mm-hmm.
A repercussion has happened and like they have stepped down, whereas that is not true of like the Republican Party. So like I'm glad that there is that difference, at least in terms, you know, like Al Franken stepped down, like stuff like that. So like at least we get something. That's all I'm trying to say. It's like I'm glad that he stepped down quick. Like I'm sure it was like I feel like it was a firing. Everybody knows it was like, he didn't want
to step down. Honestly, I'm sure that in reality, I don't think it had even come to a forced resigning. I think he knew once it came out that... I think he and like also the people working with him and, you know, above him knew. I just think everyone knew what the eventual result was going to be. And so the easiest thing for everyone was just for him to resign because I think it was going to happen. I don't know. I feel like a takeaway is that just like, it's important to not confuse someone's like political ideology with like who they are as a person.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I feel like a lot of times because someone stands up for what I would stand up for politically or has a lot of the same mm-hmm. or has a lot of the same stances on an agenda doesn't necessarily make them
a good person
or a person without like flaws or like, you know, obviously he was an abusive person. I don't really know how to, you know, I don't really want to insensitively comment on, you know, his addictions,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I just think it's like, it's important to not get into like this mindset of like hero worship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where we kind of put a person up on a pedestal mm-hmm. for something positive they've done.
Well.
It's important to remember that these are just like all of us, these are like whole and flawed people.
This is what this is what I was talking about with a friend yesterday when we were talking about Junot Diaz. The person who wrote The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde, and the fact that, like, you know, now he has these Me Too allegations against him. And clearly, you know, obviously when you read his books, the characters he usually writes are very sexist. I mean, they're very, like, culturally specific.
Yeah.
But, like, they are very sexist, and, like...
It's always, like, a very misogynistic protagonist.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you can see that, like, that's part of him coming through these characters, and, like... But the thing is, he was also, like, one of the most well-known authors of color. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's, like, the only super famous, well-known, like, Dominican author. Like, so for all of these, like, immigrants or, like, you know, or, like, people of color who are trying to become authors who are, like, so inspired by his books and, like, you know, look up to him, want to be, like, that was such a huge disappointment. And, like, that's the thing. It's, like, you get reminded of the same thing that, like, you can't put people up on a pedestal.
Right.
Because of, like, their work, because, like, people are so flawed and shitty and whatever. And, like, at this point, I'm like, I have no more faves.
Well,
except for Demi Lovato.
I think a weird thing with...
Who also says some really problematic things sometimes.
I know, exactly. Fucking everyone does. So I'm just like, all right, no one... Like, you just can't like anyone anymore. Like, in a full and complete way and, like, stand that no matter what, you know?
I mean, the Juno Diaz thing is weird to me because... And I don't know if this is necessarily the same thing, but it reminds me a lot of, like... Louis C.K. And like Woody Allen in a way, where they're basically like putting their transgressions in their artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Like Louis C.K. like has like stand-up bits where he's like talking, he's pretty much talking exactly about the things he's done.
Yeah, about masturbating and
like,
shit.
I think like almost every Woody Allen I can remember, other than like maybe two or three, is about a much older man dating a much younger woman.
Yeah.
And he always casts himself as the much older man dating the much younger woman.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's like he's putting it in your face.
Yeah. No, I agree. But anyway. I feel like we always have this. I feel like we should just have a regular segment now on our pod where it's like, and
time for us to
problematic fave segment. Let's talk about some more. Every week there's a new person. Every week there's like five new people that are like done some bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
And Rita Ora included.
Yeah,
Rita Ora did some bullshit. But anyway, let's talk about the Kent State girl also, by the way, that actually, I want to bring this up because, like, all these, like, so we've had the This Is America video, and then we had the school shooting that just happened, and then also, right before the school shooting, this girl that graduated from Kent State took her graduation photos with an AR-15 rifle, so, what?
Where is Kent State? What state is it
in? Is it in Kent?
Yeah, seriously, I'm seriously curious. Does anybody know?
It's in Ohio, I think.
Good question. It's in Ohio.
I would just like a little bit of a good... I would like a little bit of a background.
It's in Ohio. So basically, for everyone that doesn't know about this Kent State girl, what is her name? We don't know. We don't care.
We don't need to know what her name is.
It's something Bennett. I don't know.
It doesn't matter what her name is.
But she... For her graduation, she graduated from her undergrad at Kent State, and then she took graduation photos of her with an AR-15 rifle and her walking around campus, and her graduation cap said, "Come and get it," like come and get her gun, and that's because Kent State as a school doesn't allow open carry for students, staff, or faculty, but it allows open carry for guests. I feel like Chet, you.
I'm gonna go ahead and go with this one because I'm not okay. I'm not surprised at all by like a student that believes in like her right to arms or you know whatever this dumb shit is, but I saw a Fox News interview with her where she was answering some questions and there were a couple of things that stood out to me. One was the interviewer asked her why she was like fighting for her rights, and she had mentioned in this like she brought up the Kent State shootings, which was basically the Ohio National Guard came to Kent State because there were protesters and they ended up opening fire into the student protesters who were unarmed.
And wasn't this in the 60s though?
She brought this up as an example of like how like with guns, maybe they could have defended themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and done what? Like, get into a shootout with the National Guard?
You'd still die.
Like, how is that gonna... I don't understand how that's gonna solve anything.
Also, by the way, girl, the government has, like, tanks and shit. Like, they could fuck us up no matter what. Like, their AR-15s aren't gonna save you.
And can I just say,
also professionally trained.
Nuclear weapons.
These are also the same people that want to protect their rights to arms, to protect themselves from a government if they need to. But this is also the same people that, like, support putting more and more funding into our military. So you're just, you want to make the military stronger.
So you're giving them money for better guns.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, these people are idiots.
Also, the only reason why I think it would be justified if like zombies existed, and I would understand if we need to have guns for a zombie apocalypse.
I'm gonna ignore everything you said. And
I'm just saying, I think that's very real.
The other thing that bothered me was he asked her what the backlash was or what the fallout was from what she did, and she had mentioned her receiving a lot of racist comments in person and on the internet. And when he asked her what those comments were, her answer was that people are accusing her of white privilege. They were accusing her of white privilege and saying that, like, the only reason she was able to walk around campus with a
AR-15
was because of white privilege.
She was white.
That is not racism. Like, that is not racism.
That's, and, like, because of race you're allowed to do this.
But it's this thing where, like, a lot of these people are championing white racism as if it's, like, this racist attack against them.
Yeah.
And, one, it's not, it's, like, It's not. Like, you're completely deflecting it into something it isn't.
Yeah.
And two, you're completely shutting off any chance for a dialogue because you're acting like this is just some kind of broad-based attack against you and not something very specific to your situation.
Also, LOL to when the Fox person was like, so have you gotten, like, positive responses or negative responses? Because I know basically some people think you're the worst person on earth.
Yeah. But, like...
And she was like, you know, it's been hard. I've got a lot of responses. But for the most part... positive. It's positive, but actually I haven't read any of my emails because I have too many, and I'm like, for the most part, the responses are very negative.
Yeah. But the thing that like she is like a walking example of white privilege because not only was she able to have this firearm with her on campus and not get stopped, not get questioned, or, you know, not get attacked by authorities, she got a job.
Offer.
She was already offered a job in Ohio.
At a pro-gun.
At a pro-gun. She's going to be working.
It's like a rifle association, which I didn't even know existed.
I mean, they have the NRA, so like...
Yeah. But she also mentioned, she was like, yeah, well, I don't think that's... Because when people were saying, like, oh, this white privilege thing, like, you're able to be white. She was like, well, I think if you were a minority and did the same thing, then nothing would happen to you. I was like, bitch, have you looked at the news lately?
And also, she was like, and I had a black officer, and he loved it.
Like,
give me names. Who is this black officer? Can we interview him?
Or it's, well, it isn't.
Where is he?
To me, it's like, it doesn't even matter. Like,
find him.
Bring him on TV, too. It's like, just bring because him you have on a black friend doesn't mean you're not racist.
What?
Just because you have a black friend doesn't mean you're not racist. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. You know, exactly. Like.
I mean, there was that case in Sacramento where he was shot for, like, when they thought he had a cell phone out. Like, there's people who
were
shot for,
there are people getting shot for not even having that, just the thought of having that.
People were getting shot for being fucking mentally ill in the middle of the street because they're acting a little crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So,
no. Speaking of people getting shot, going on to the next topic of conversation, which is light and bright light.
Oh my god.
Wow. Sorry, I don't, transitions are hard here when you're talking about hard shit.
Strong.
The Gaza protests are still happening that we talked about a few episodes ago. And basically, I think, I forget what the death toll is right now, but a lot of, so it was Nakba, it was the day of Nakba a few days ago, which is basically the anniversary of the day when Palestinian people were forced out of their homes. And on that day, there was a huge protest of like 30,000 people or something like that, wanting to go back to their homes. And the protesters, some people had like rocks and stones, and some people had like little like fireworks or whatever. But like, the Palestinian people don't have any money. They don't have any real like good infrastructure. Like, they're not out here with real weapons. But like, when they threw these little rocks or whatever, that, by the way, are not life-threatening, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, fired upon them and killed more than 80 people. I'm actually not sure what the death toll is right now, but they killed a lot of the protesters, and out of those protesters, 6 of them were kids.
There was also, I think also an infant died of asphyxiation. due to like complications from like from wounds from what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so sad.
And I just don't understand how you can be a person and call yourself a moral person and like not see what is happening as like an atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
Because Israel is the only Middle Eastern country that has nuclear power and the only Middle Eastern country that has like the full military and like financial and like basically like political backing of a superpower like America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you ever think, even if Hamas exists in Palestine, even if Hamas is like, it doesn't have anything to do with Hamas like trying to get people to this protest or not. Even if Hamas was doing that or not doing that, I don't know why that would really matter, because like the power is completely disproportionate.
Mm-hmm.
Like the military power is completely disproportionate. Like, and also the force that they use and like the way they kill these people is completely like a disproportionate use of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It was just like really upsetting, because it's almost, it's like, it's kind of grating, because it's like they know the whole world is watching, but they know that they have America's unequivocal support, that it's almost like they're like, we don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But it's also, you know, like, it's like you said, they have America's unequivocal support. And I know this is not necessarily a direct comparison, but I think this speaks to the mentality that a lot of people in charge of the U.S. government and U.S. military right now, and specifically Donald Trump, is when he made the comments this week about how, like, certain immigrants who want to come into America mm-hmm. are not people, but they're animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have people in charge who don't see all humans as human.
Right.
You know, they don't value all human life equally.
Yeah.
And I think that is a problem. You know, it's like, yeah. And it's like when you start having a hierarchy of who is important enough to be treated with the respect that a human being should be treated with, I think you have people that are willing to take steps. And of course, like, that you see this like catastrophic loss of life.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. They don't view it as like what they're doing is like, I think, like killing like people.
Exactly. And also, actually, so people from his administration defended that, being like, oh, he was talking about MS-13 gang members. And I'm like, who the fuck cares? Those are still people.
Right.
Like, they're still people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people can commit crimes and be criminals and still be people.
Right. And it's, like, this whole idea that, like, people are just who they are. And if, like, you're an animal, you're just an animal. It has nothing to do with, like, situations people are born into or situations people are forced to live inside of. That doesn't, like, play a huge factor into, like, who you end up becoming.
Exactly. Or
the things you have to do in your life to survive.
Yeah. No. Fully agreed. I mean, and also speaking of Trump administration, this last week, he, Jesus Christ, like, I just can't even, but he basically repealed, like, a guidance that, like, Obama's administration gave for, like, the way transgender people would be assigned to, like, which gender prisons, and he repealed that and issued another guidance being, like, transgender people should be assigned to the prisons according to their biological gender. And, like, I work for, like, an LGBT civil rights nonprofit. It's an impact litigation nonprofit, and we often take up cases fighting shit like this. That's why this has been on the forefront of my mind as well. But, like, I'm just like, wow, way to go the fuck backwards. Like, why come for things that people aren't, that most people aren't even thinking about? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like going out of your way to be like,
right,
like, violent towards mm-hmm. a certain group of people.
Right.
Like, this is not a current topic.
Mm-hmm. And this is also like, I mean, not that it's not important, but, you know, the rights of people in jails and prisons is not something that's necessarily a hot topic or something that, like, people are talking about on a daily basis, or that you're seeing a lot of, like, news stories on the covers of magazines about. You know, it's not like this decision he's making is something that people have been really pushing for.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
And I think this is just the latest example, and we've seen time and time again this administration go after people. They go out of their way to, like, make life worse for certain groups of people.
Yeah. It's, like, so intentional. I know I should be, like, desensitized to this at this point, but, like, it still kind of blows my mind being, like, you just went ahead and found this, like, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But one thing that was really, like, uplifting, I mean, it has its flaws, and we can, like Chris said, one thing that was uplifting was in Pakistan, they passed the most progressive transgender laws, actually, this last week as well in the parliament, and it's waiting to be signed by the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
But this landmark bill that passed in parliament allows people to choose their gender and have that identity recognized in official documents like national IDs, passports, and licenses. And this bill also prohibits discrimination in the workplace, in school, in public transit. And it specifically says that trans people cannot be banned from running for office, which is, like, the bill itself is like, pretty progressive in of itself, like, in a Western place. But, like, incredibly progressive for somewhere like Pakistan,
yes.
You know, where there's a lot of religious laws and, like, it's, mm-hmm. like, pretty culturally and religiously conservative and, like, you know, trans people are getting, like, murdered on the daily is there as well, you
mm-hmm.
know, which is funny and, like, not that different from America because trans people are getting murdered here on the daily as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, definitely their criticisms, like, you know, like, laws aren't always enforced, right?
Yeah.
So it might not be enforced, but,
I don't know. It was something that I was surprised to hear about, and I think it was something
yeah.
that was uplifting to hear about.
Trans activists in Pakistan were like, we never imagined this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, on that positive note of progressiveness among all the shit we talked about, we're gonna take a little break and then come back and talk about the royal fucking wedding.
That happened today.
That happened today, this morning. So
can't wait.
Chet is not a fan.
Chet is,
not a fan of the royal family. But we'll see you in a bit.
See you after the pee break.
Do me a favor. Give me a reason. I got excuses, but the truth is I got a fever. Your vibe's contagious, and I've been waiting for you to tame the flame in me. I see you got just what I need. So come a little closer, darling. You the only heat I'm seeking. I'm a bending over.
So we're back here. we're now here for our fun segment.
Great transition. Great transition.
Our fun segment is our pop culture segment. But really, we're always doing our pop culture segment.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're here to talk about the royal wedding.
Mm, mm.
And it's called Tears to... No, actually, our transition itself is called Tears to Tea.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is the royal wedding.
Also funny because the British love tea.
No, but we were at the sad part. The politics part was all sad, so the tears, and now
yeah,
we're here for the
now
tea.
We're now
and
all the
end up
with
the British.
And British
tea.
Love tea.
Yeah, the British
yeah.
love tea.
British
I,
love tea.
Bangladeshis love tea. We love
we
tea.
We do love tea.
Cha. We love cha.
Yeah.
Swear to God, if another white person calls it chai tea, I will kill them. I'm not going to kill them, but... You guys, chai tea is basically... You're saying tea. You're saying tea. You can't say tea. Okay, it's just tea. It's just chai.
Tea.
Tea. We're not here for that kind of tea.
Oh my God.
But anyway.
We're here for all tea.
And this is the drunkest
make
portion
no
of
mistake.
Our podcast.
Mm. I know, let me just take a little sip before we start. So, first, a question, really a survey.
Mm.
Chet, have you watched The Royal Wedding?
I have not.
Have you watched The Royal
no.
Wedding?
No.
Ishma, have you watched The Royal Wedding? Yes.
Can't think of a better way to spend a Saturday morning.
I know. I stayed in bed.
Can I ask you how long was The Royal Wedding?
2.5 hours.
Oh,
good
my
God.
Okay, but I skipped some parts. I was like, I did the 10 seconds.
It's longer than
seconds.
Titanic.
Titanic is a great movie, though.
Mm.
Damn.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyway.
But,
I did not cry during the royal wedding. Okay, first of all, yes, I watched the royal wedding on YouTube. Second of all, I did have my hands on the 10-second skip button. So every time something got boring, I would just skip 10 seconds ahead. So I watched it in like 10-second intervals. Like, honestly. the whole thing. So I would say that I probably watched like, I actually spent like an hour and 15 minutes watching it, but it was 2.5 hours, but I skipped through the whole thing.
Okay.
And my hot take on it is that my first hot take is that it was hella boring.
As the most royal weddings are.
It's so
I have a question. Is that a hot boring. Take?
Yeah, it's not a hot
that
take.
That is not a hot take.
That's just so a boring take. Okay, they're no, but boring. There were so many people that were obsessed with it. They woke up to watch the live thing start to end. And I'm like, this yeah. is
people
so
that have no lives.
Boring.
I'm not interested in watching somebody.
All the yeah. religious shit, I am like, blah, 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 blah. It's like the same thing over and over again. I'm like, but what like, is that's, happening?
I think that happens every royal wedding.
Yeah, it's
not like this like was that. The boring
this
one.
Is
the
I know, but they look like. This is like yeah. the second one 100%. That I watched because let's face it, we didn't watch Charles and Camilla because like why would you? That's boring and like we love Diana. So
I was gonna say Chet and I haven't watched any of them. You're the only you're talking.
You're the only one that's watched them here.
Yeah. All right, well Prince Charles. Oh no, what's it? What's the eldest person's
William?
Name with the Kate William? Not Charles. Yeah, William and Kate. Saw a little bit of that. Did a little 10-minute recap YouTube video of that. But so this was really my full-fledged one.
Got it.
To prepare her for this
first
one.
First full time.
She did okay, a recap. And then let me tell you what I appreciated.
Okay.
Obviously, this was the blackest royal wedding ever. Surprise! Like, obviously, yeah. Meghan Markle is there. I mean, it was the blackest, but it could have been more black. But, you know, I guess the royal family put a cap on that. Mm-hmm. So, like, Meghan Markle did what she could. So they had so after like the Church of England person married them or whatever, there was a black American pastor. I forgot how to pronounce pastor for a second. I was going to say pastor.
Pastor.
God. black American pastor. And I mean, he was really great because I mean, he did it in like a black church tradition, like the way he like talked about everything and he like talked about like Martin Luther King Jr. and he talked about how like he talked about like slavery and how like it was really important to have faith during that time to get through slavery. And like I would say that I enjoyed that part in this weird ironic way because the British as a colonial empire and the royal family has participated heavily, I'm being nice about my words, in the slave trade and, like, colonialism and oppressing other people. So it's, like, kind of funny to, like, have this, like, pastor who's talking about, you know, how basically we had to make it through this shit because of you all you white people that are sitting here and you're all rich from this, like, shit. You know what I mean? So I thought that was, like, kind of fun. And also I thought, it was cool that like the cellist that played, he is like an amazing cellist from America and he's a black cellist and he's incredibly talented and Meghan personally called him and I asked him to play at this and he did like 4 or 5 solo pieces and wow. like that was, you know, like
really
they've never had like a black musician be a solo like musician before like, you know, the bride and groom come out, you know. Mm-hmm. Also what was funny was in the choir boys, like all the little kids, I think there was like 1 or 2 black little boys and the camera kept like panning to them just like over and over again and I was like why do you think, what point are we trying to make here? Like there's, like, 1 or 2 in a sea of white little boys. Yeah. I'm confused. Like, what is happening? Just thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, the parts that were entertaining were, like, either funny or I was like, oh, like, I'm glad. Oh, also when Meghan and Harry came out to say hi to the British public, there was, like, black church music that was being sung in the background that wow. I thought was really awesome.
That's
and actually
really
beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah.
And like Serena Williams was there and she looked fucking gorgeous mm-hmm. and she wore her cornrows. Like she just looked amazing. So did her so mom.
Her mom.
Like I was like, all right, making some history here.
Yeah.
You know, but like at least some aesthetic history, if mm-hmm. not real moves, you know?
I mean, something that I also read was it's the first time that like,
a black woman or a black family would be in the official royal wedding family portrait photos.
Right.
Because her mom would be in them as well. And so that's really, like, that's making history as well.
Yeah. So that was interesting. But, I mean, the dress, I know everyone's, like, being like, oh my God, like, she just wanted to keep it simple. Like, she's so beautiful. Like, just wanted to focus on her. But the dress was so boring. Like, yeah, it was really boring. Literally just like, ugh, the taxpayer is paid for this.
No, I think they probably just made that dress for free, honestly. The designer.
Givenchy.
Yeah, did that 100% dress. Did.
IDK, but whatever. I was just like, this dress, no. But her tiara was really beautiful.
Not her tiara, obviously.
Yeah, it's like a tiara from 1863 made from, like, colonial blood money. But anyway, we're not going to focus on that. anyway, so.
She did wear Princess Diana's ring at her evening reception.
Oh, she did. Oh, that's cool.
Which is really beautiful. It's like this aquamarine ring. And she wore a better dress, I think.
And wasn't her suit's co-workers there?
They all were. They were there. But you know what? One of the things that I would like to see her do in these next coming months is wear her hair naturally.
Girl, she's not going to do that.
I know, but I would love it. As somebody who has had like a 10-year struggle with like my own hair texture and like has literally... has taken years to accept the fact that, like, my hair doesn't look like everybody who I grew up with. I would love to see her.
White people?
Yeah, I grew up at a white high school, and I used to spend every other day waking up an hour and a half early to, like, make my eyebrows look thinner and to straighten my hair, and, like, has had this, like, 10-year-long struggle with, like, fighting the fact that I looked Bangladeshi. I would love to see somebody who is breaking so many boundaries, like Meghan Markle, like, show that she... is proud of how her hair naturally looks.
I do want to say, though, at the end, like, I do want to give her autonomy. If she likes her own aesthetic a certain way, then mm-hmm. she should do that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, because at some point we need to separate your own personal aesthetic from, like, your politics or whatever. Mm-hmm. Something. I'm just saying. Like, I understand what you're saying, and I'd be totally here for it if she does it. But also, I want to give her the space to, like...
to... yeah, create her own.
Do whatever the fuck she wants to do with her body, I guess. Chet's gonna come in with a hot take.
I'm gonna come through right now. I'm gonna start with something positive.
Okay.
Which is, I'm gonna say...
No, but why don't you do the negative?
No, I'm going positive first.
Oh, God.
I just want to say that their cake was beautiful.
Okay, the cake was... Really, though? I think it could have been better.
And it looks...
And it looks
delicious. I would have loved to have a piece... Now that I'm done with that,
I wasn't into the flavor. I was like, this buttercream stuff doesn't sound great to me.
As far as the dress goes, it's like a British royal wedding. It's not the Met Gala. You're not going to see an exciting dress.
British fashion is the most boring.
You're never going to see Meghan Markle in anything exciting ever again because now she's British royalty.
And she's never going to act again. She already basically said that. So.
Well, I mean, that's a choice she made.
Goodbye,
so.
Autonomy.
That's a... And
I mean, it's not like she was like she wasn't like a groundbreaking actress.
I don't know. I feel like I'm not impressed by any of this in terms of like progress because it's not like what all these people like decided they weren't gonna be racist anymore and like voted her into something.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's like a prince like fell in love with a woman who happens to be half black.
Mm.
Like, let's not act like this is like this
exactly.
means anything at all.
I do agree with you about that. Like,
So like, I mean, like, I don't really have that much like goodwill about it. Like, I'm not like, oh, like this is progress. Like, for as far as I'm concerned, this could just like, I mean, I know they're gonna have kids, but like outside of like their family, like. This could just never happen again for, I don't know, 100 years? Like,
and also, let's not forget that all these British people that are cheering them on are also the British people that voted for Brexit. So, like, yo, whatever.
And, like, I felt very annoyed, by the way, that it seemed like every single thing I read or saw online about the royal wedding was just, like, a reminder that Meghan Markle is black. And it's like, I know that she's black. Like, I get it. Like, I know that she's black. You don't need to, like, pan to the black kid in the choir to remind me that Meghan Markle's black. Like,
that's
I remember that she's black.
That's just like, why is that?
Yeah,
why?
And it's like, I don't need to hear whether, like, the wedding was black enough or, like, could have been blacker or, like, whether it was black. It's like, does it even matter? Like, for all I know, like, this wedding went off, like, as much as, like, she, like, the way that she wanted it to happen. Like, I don't know that. Like, who knows? I think that none of this matters. This is stupid. I don't care about basically the British equivalent of like Don Jr. and Eric's and or Eric's wedding.
Okay, yo, this is not the same though.
It is the same thing.
Because Don Jr. is a white supremacist.
Okay, and they're not.
Harry isn't.
How do you know? You mean the guy that dressed up like a Nazi for Halloween?
Well, not that, but like he's like not like endorsing like racist policies. Come on though. Like he's not like Huh?
They don't do any Prince policy. Harry they're not
dressed up as a Nazi. Wait, say it.
They're not politicians.
Wait, he dressed up as a what?
Prince Harry dressed up as a Nazi for Halloween one year?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
I don't know.
You know this?
Maybe like 10 years ago?
I don't know. Does it matter?
But not. Wait, yeah, he yeah did? It does. Yes. It does. It does.
Wait,
it does.
It totally does. It totally I didn't does. Know about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do our listeners know about this?
No, let's Google this. What shit. Year it is. I'm looking
we're running out of, we're running out of time. Yeah. Oh my God, you literally brought up something very essential. Why would you bring this up during the brainstorm?
I thought this was pretty well known.
I didn't fucking know.
No, we might have been. Jesus. Let me look up what year this happened.
Okay, we gotta wrap this shit up because we don't have time to go into this.
Okay, the royal family is whack. They're stupid and pointless. And who cares about them? And everyone who does care about them is an idiot.
Let's just, the only thing let's care about is basically just Vanderpump Rules. That's the only thing.
Oh my God. First of all. Everyone on Vanderpump Rules is so much more important than anyone who's ever born British royalty. Okay. Lisa Vanderpump.
Is British royalty.
Basically is the queen of England as far as I'm concerned.
Alright, on that note, we gotta wrap it up. I hope
you enjoyed this.
I just wanna say, for all the people that have been listening to every single episode so far, thank you, we appreciate you, and also continue to review and rate our podcast on iTunes, you know what I mean? And follow us at Brown Town Podcast.
Subscribe.
And yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks-ish. 2 weeks and 3 days.
The ish in the 2 weeks. Yes.
Okay.